You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
To the Gastroenteritis Blues. First time we've done this today. My name is Steve Lippman. I'm with Emily Cannell and Dan Volpone and a very special guest, Rohan Singh. Rohan, thank you for joining us. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. It's a miserable old morning here in New Zealand, but now looking forward to chatting with you guys. And no, thank you for having me on the pod. This should be fun.
What's the temperature like there? What are the summers like in New Zealand?
So it's actually winter at the moment.
Holy shit, I'm a moron.
It's not too, I mean, for us it's cold, but I guess it's probably, and where I am in Auckland in the northern part of the country, it's probably about, so in the day it gets up to about 15 degrees Celsius, which might be, I don't know, maybe 50 over there. It doesn't get too cold. Here in the north, but in the summers it would get close to maybe 90 to mid 90s in the at the absolute peak of summertime. So it's not too volatile, the weather here.
That's nice. So we know you as a big Suns fan, and also you have some Sixers ties and Eagles ties. So you're obviously in New Zealand. Please tell me how you have, you know, sort of come into our part of the internet. Did you spend any time in Philly, and how did you end up with an interest in these teams before we go ahead and talk about the finals?
So it was, it all started with the Eagles, and I became an Eagles fan by chance, basically. So I was back in 2002, I was channel surfing as a youngster, and I flipped to ESPN one day, and they were showing the Eagles Washington game in week 17. It would have been December that year, and that was the Brian Dawkins, the suplex game, where he threw that dude on his head, and that was like one of the first plays that I ever saw of football. I mean, I'd been familiar with the game just because of the Madden games, but I never actually watched anything in real life before, and that was my first introduction, and I thought that was just the coolest thing I'd ever seen, and Dawkins, you know, with the black visor and the bulging biceps, and I thought he looked like a superhero, and right. That kind of started with that. So I've been an Eagles fan since then, and really once they won the Super Bowl in 2018, I really started getting an affinity with the people from the city as well. I joined Twitter in 2014, and I started to make a few friends through there just because of Eagles fandom. And then once the Super Bowl happened, I gained more of an affinity for the people of the city. And I did visit Philadelphia in 2018. It was actually the day of the Villanova championship parade.
Oh wow!
Although I missed the parade itself, but that was the day that I visited. It was just for a day, but I thought it was really cool visiting the city. And since then, I kind of, because I did have a casual sort of fandom of baseball and hockey as well, and I decided to jump on with the Flyers and the Phils as well. But the Sixers, I kind of, so becoming a Suns fan is kind of the same story as the Eagles. I was just at Channel 2, I think, one day and kind of got captivated by what I was watching. That was the 7 seconds or less Suns in the 2005 playoffs. But the Sixers, I kind of, I liked Allen Iverson, obviously, as everyone did. I kind of had an affinity for the smaller guys, him and Steve Nash. But so I kind of casually, you know, had the Sixers in the periphery through the Iverson years. And then when the process started, and if you don't mind my accent, I have to say process the way we say it here in New Zealand. I can't say process. It just sounds so weird coming out of my mouth. Like,
no, but, you're good.
But when the process started, I was kind of captivated by that because the Suns at the time were the antithesis of the process. They were stuck in that. They were fighting for the 8th seed every year. They didn't really have a ceiling. You know, they weren't a contender. The best case scenario of them was making the playoffs as a 7 or an 8 seed. And to see what the Sixers were doing, I was, the losing and all that, but I was, you know, they were putting themselves in a position to compete for a championship in the future, and the Suns weren't doing that. And I was really, I probably was jealous of it because I thought that was a good plan. I was on board with that. So that's when my Sixers fandom started. And then really, again, once the Super Bowl happened, I kind of dug in with all of the other Philadelphia teams. So yeah, that's kind of how my Philadelphia sports origin story.
So you were jealous of the Sixers and now we're all jealous of you right now. So
That's right.
We, during the season, we talked to Dino Srikar. He's a big Suns Twitter guy. And we feel like there's a real kindred spirit thing between Philadelphia and Phoenix fans, just for the teams that we had to root for that were shitty. And then were intentionally shitty and then getting better. Obviously, the Suns are now up 2-0 in the finals, which is amazing. We've talked about on this podcast, they're such an easy team to root for. We're pulling for them even without, you know, knowing guys like you. So tell me about this Suns team going into the playoffs. What did you think about their playoff outlook? Like, did you see this happening? Obviously, they first had to get through LeBron and AD. Like, what was your sort of prognostication about the Suns heading into the playoffs?
So I was pretty, because I kind of have like a Twitter persona and my online, and my real.
Sure.
And on Twitter, I was, you know, I was, like Dan was having his half rant on after the Hawks game 7 pod. I was not being a coward. I was saying, you know, Suns are going to destroy the Lakers. Suns and six, all of that stuff. I was pretty despondent when they drew the Lakers. Deep down, I did think I ended up picking Lakers in 7. I did not think they were going to get out of the first round. But once they did, I thought that the Suns could take the Clippers. I'm sorry, the Nuggets, and then whoever came out of the Clippers Jazz series. So I was. Once they beat the Lakers, I was pretty confident. I would have been disappointed if they didn't make the finals, to be honest. But the first round, it was a couple of things. First, obviously, it's the Lakers. It's LeBron. Playing against LeBron in the playoffs is a horrifying experience. I hope you never have to do that. Mm-hmm. And also because it was coming off such a long playoff drought, you know, it's one thing to play them in the first play, like a defending champ, you know, Lakers, LeBron, AD in the first round, but to do that and not have any, you know, the playoff experience was for the entire roster was Chris Paul and Jake Crowder. And I did think that going into the series, I did think that was going to be a factor. And just for me personally, being a fan, I didn't know, like last time the Suns were in the playoffs, I was a dumbass university kid in my first year at university. And I forgot what it was like to get up for and root for a team in the playoffs in the NBA. And I had like a pit in my stomach before every single game of that series. I felt like I was going to throw up because I didn't know how to feel. And since then it's gotten better. I'm pretty good since then. But no, I was not. I did not think they would get out of the first round. So this finals run has been just incredible.
How are you feeling right now? I mean, obviously, I'm sure good would be the minimum, but like the Suns are up 2-0. They took care of business at home. Game three will be the night that this comes out. It'll be tomorrow. How do you feel? Are you nervous? Do you feel like you guys have this? Obviously, the real crossover is Dario, who sadly tore his ACL. We love Dario, and he seems very well-liked in Phoenix as well. But how are you feeling for the rest of the series? I mean, things are looking good right now.
Yeah, I'm very confident. I think they're gonna close it out in five. Like, I think the way I think this series is going to play out is that they'll lose game three, and then win game four, and then close it out at home in Phoenix in game five. So
okay,
yeah, I don't. It's just wild, kind of being in this point. Considering where I thought this team was going to be at the start of the season, let alone the start of the playoffs, that they are up 2-0 in the finals. And they're such a fun team to watch. And yeah, the Dario injury sucks. You know, he's been up and down this season. There was a point like when he made his return, I think it was in the very first Sixers Suns game back in February. And he was awesome in that game. And he started off the season really, really well. He was, I thought he could have been like a borderline sixth man of the year candidate with the way he was playing to start. And then he kind of had a huge slump for the last couple of months, and then he's kind of been on and off in the playoffs. But you know, a depth, you know, he's an important depth piece. You know, he's a backup center, so losing him is going to be a big it's going to be tough. But there's still, I think a lot of Sixers folks have an affinity for Monty, so I think they'll be rooting for him as well. And he's been an incredible coach. He's gotten the guys. He's such a good game to game game planner. Maybe not so much in game, but Monty's been amazing. It's pretty wild that maybe a week from now we could be talking about, because I think game five is exactly a week from now. Wow. And we could be a week from now, the Suns could be NBA champs, and I don't know how to conceptualize that at this point.
Is your sleep schedule all fucked up? Like, what time are the games happening for you, or does it work out okay?
So they work out okay. So most of the games start at 9 Eastern, I believe. So that's 1 p.m. Yeah. So
that's great. It's okay.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
But I am at work during all the games. So I kind of have, on game days, I'm kind of running around like a madman doing all my stuff in the mornings, just so I can do some busy work and have the game on in the corner in the afternoons.
Right.
But game five is on a Sunday here. So that's what I'm hoping they can close it out in five, because then I can actually sit at home and watch game five and watch them win the title. So the timing is decent. It's not like when football season starts and all the games start at 5 a.m. on a Monday morning, which is pretty brutal. But no,
right,
you do what you have to do for the for the fandom.
Right. Talking about the Sixers, they obviously lost in spectacular fashion this playoffs. They lost in the second round to the Hawks. What is your vantage point on the Sixers and what, you think they should do this offseason to make things better? What do you think?
Yeah, so obviously that was a disastrous result. I was watching that game seven at work. I was kind of just in shock that it happened, but not shocked, just because the way they played the whole series. Mm-hmm. And obviously I think they were definitely the more talented team, but that doesn't mean shit in the end. They were the Hawks were just tougher than them. They won, and they played with so much more urgency. What the off-season plan is, I think you guys have talked over it on the pod. I think you have to move on from Ben. I don't see him and Joel as a tenable playoff duo. You can get away with them in the regular season. In the playoffs, I just don't think it can work. And it's shown that, you can't have your second best player and a max player on the bench in the fourth quarter of a game seven, because he can't be on the floor on offense. No, you stick him in the dunker spot and just clogs the lane for, you're running your offense through Joel and you have Ben there in the dunker spot, just clogging up the lane. I think you need to move him for a perimeter guy. Who that person is, I don't know. I know you guys brought up names, CJ McCollum, guys like that. Whether that's obviously the crown prize would be Dame if the Portland decides to move him. But you need that perimeter initiator, because running through the post through a post player in the playoffs is difficult in itself, let alone when you don't have the spacing that the Sixers have when Ben Simmons is on the floor. So I think they have to move him. I don't think Daryl is going to move him for the sake of moving him. I think he'll move him if the right deal shows itself. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's with the team on the roster to start the year. But I think he needs to be if the Sixers want to, because they're a legitimate contender, they should be. Mm-hmm. And what happened this year can't happen again. It was a disgraceful end to the season.
We certainly agree with that.
Yeah. So
elsewhere for the Sixers, Danny Green made some comments this week that did not go over great. I'll read you the comments. Emily, I want you to react to these. It's a lot of comments. It's a lot of words. He talked to John Clark on John Clark's podcast. John Clark asked him, do you think the crowd and Philly can have an effect on someone like Ben in basically big moments? He said, for sure, it has an effect on everybody. And I think that's something that needs to change in the city. I love our fans, but when things aren't going well, they can't turn on you. That's the one thing I would disagree with or dislike. Some guys use it as motivation. Some guys have a chip on their shoulder, but I think that needs to change. They need to be riding with us regardless of how things are going. We're the number one team in the East, still playing well, and in some games they boo us. That's part of the culture here. Part of their way of showing they love us. But with a guy like Ben and other guys, I think they need to stick behind them and stick by them as long as they can until the horn blows. And even then, he's here. He's given so much to the organization and the city on and off the court that he deserves that respect and that support. Lots more bullshit after that. Emily, what's your reaction to this collection of words from Danny Green?
I'm just confused as to what games Danny Green was at. I thought I saw him on the bench at the Sixers playoff games, but now I'm not so sure because, every game I was at, which was almost all of them, all the fans did was cheer and want the team to do well and support them. And so I'm confused as to what games he was attending.
I am with you. Dan, what's your reaction to what Danny, your namesake, so it's probably hard on you to criticize him, but what did you think about what Danny said about the Sixers fans?
It was really awful. First of all, what is he talking about?
I had no idea.
I was at a couple of games. I watched them lose two awful playoff games and spent a lot of money to go cheer them on as they just screwed up over and over again. And we did, the whole stadium was cheering. We talked about it over and over again. It was almost pathetic how much Ben was getting cheered when he was at the foul line. It was sad. And to then I'm so sick of all of the excuses that are made for Ben that have been made by certain guys on this team in general. Is he seriously implying that the fans are the reason that Ben was in his head at the foul line? Because that is ridiculous. And obviously it doesn't really reflect what happened at all. But even if we did, there was booing at the end of game five, which we were all at.
Like, what are you supposed to do after they blow a 26-point lead? Are you supposed to, like, stand there and cheer? Like right. That'd be a really sicko thing to do. Like, who is doing that? That's weird.
I mean, the three of us were at game five together, which is absolutely horrific. And everybody in unison was cheering Ben when he walked to the free throw line every time, as if he was like the team manager on senior night who gets to play with his friends. It was embarrassing, honestly. He's an all-star. And we were all just willing him to make one of those. And people booed at the end of those games because the Sixers were the fucking one seed and could have walked to the finals if they could just function like a normal team. And it's like, you know, I on one hand, I understand that Danny Green is motivated by sticking up for Ben Simmons, and he's his teammate and he's trying to find an excuse somewhere. I get it. But on the other hand, it's like, nobody wants to hear this shit. Like, we don't want to hear fan criticisms as the Sixers just like completely wilted in the postseason and like inexcusably so. So like, I think that they were provably false, you know, what he said about the team's support. And I also think that like, you can play in different cities where the fans won't boo because the fans don't care. And like, the Sixers fans boo, like none of us stand for any sort of like insensitive remarks that are said, but booing itself is the fans' way of expressing displeasure with what's happening. And I think that that should be, you know, kosher for what's allowed in a stadium with fans that care about the team. And people spend a lot of money to see these guys play. You know, Rohan, is this your read on it as well from your sort of perspective on the Danny Green quote?
Yep. No, I completely agree with what all of you have said. And like, these weren't just like, this wasn't, you know, the Toronto series 2 years ago. This series had two, you know, cataclysmic collapses that
right.
will go down in like the pantheon of Philadelphia sports losses. And yeah, I mean, the one thing I'm you know, bothered about, you know, everyone on that pod, on that same appearance on that podcast with John Clark, he was, you know, the story was talking about the fans. He literally said that they did not take the Hawks seriously enough.
And like, there's your big quote, by the way.
I know. I was mortified. Like, why is this not being picked up? This is the main story here. But they deserve to be booed, to be honest, because
yeah.
those were horrific losses. And it just comes off as excuse making for a series that they should have won handily. So I completely disagree with Danny's comments there.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You mentioned trading Ben Simmons, which certainly seems like it's not a likelihood, a very strong possibility. This week, there have been a few reports from reporters about the Timberwolves. Minnesota Timberwolves are interested in Ben. John, I don't know how to say his last name, Krasowinski, I don't know. God bless. He's a great reporter, but I don't know how to say it. He talks about how the Timberwolves are basically, they want to be in on Ben Simmons. He also said they don't want to trade Towns, Russell, or Anthony Edwards, but he, I guess, everything else. He said that, and then Dane Moore, who is another Timberwolves reporter, he said, Timberwolves president of basketball operations, Gerson Rosas, and 76ers general manager, Elton Brand, met in Chicago during the NBA Combine, where a Ben Simmons trade was discussed. The Simmons to Minnesota trade was discussed. The negotiations are not substantive at this time, but I guess two things definitely confirms. One, the Sixers will, like, are, he's on the market. You know, if Elton Brand is having a meeting, and this seems like, from what we've heard from other people at the site, that these are legit reports. He's clearly on the market in some way. And Minnesota is definitely interested. Everybody has been saying how it's very hard to do a one-to-one trade between Philly and Minnesota because the contracts that they have to match would be like Russell, who I don't think the Sixers want and I don't want, or, you know, like Malik Beasley, who is good and would help the Sixers, and Rubio, but that's just not going to get it done. So it seems like a three-team possibility if we find a star in another team and that team doesn't really want them. Dan, what do you think about the evolving nature of the Timberwolves sort of stuff, and how real do you think it is that they'll be in this thing until the end? Dan, we have Dan. He's gone. Emily, you're up. What do you think about this stuff, the Timberwolves?
What do I think about this stuff? We kind of talked about it on our other episode when we were talking about potential Ben trades. I don't really know that there's a ton of people on the Timberwolves that I'm interested in having on the Sixers. I know Dan was interested in Towns or someone like that, but I don't know that they have enough value for Ben personally.
Right. That seems unlikely. And I think Towns is probably a center most of the time. And I would be surprised if anything like that happened. Rohan, what do you think about this? Like, if you were the Sixers, would you be tantalized at all by a, you know, Timberwolves offer? The complicating thing is that the Sixers don't seem likely to accept like a bundle of picks for Ben unless they just reroute it someplace else because they have to win now with Joel. So what do you think?
Yeah, exactly what you said. They're not looking for, you know, draft picks or young prospects. I would be intrigued by Anthony Edwards. But he's, you know, I think you talked about on that same part that Emily was referring to. He's a few years away from being, right. You know, a big contributor on a championship team. So he doesn't really fit with the timeline. I don't see how it would work straight if it was just a Sixers Timberwolves trade for Ben. The Wolves would be high if they traded Towns for Ben. In my opinion, Russell, I would not want him. I agree with you. So yeah, it would have to be a three teamer because I just don't think it would work with what the Timberwolves have on their roster.
Yeah, Dan, I'm hearing that Dan is back now, and what do you think about the new reports about the Timberwolves wanting Ben?
Yeah, I don't think it's all like that surprising. But I agree. I don't really know what they give. It's just, I think it makes sense most as like a potential third team. If hopefully you can get like a real star, like obviously, you know, Dame is the guy everyone's talking about. And if the Blazers want more picks than anything, if they're going to rebuild, then that's what they're good for in that deal in terms of, you know, Timberwolves interest. But yeah, like on the market, which is interesting.
Yeah. Rohan, as a fan of the Suns, you can sort of forget the construction of the Suns or how Ben would fit over there, but just as another team, would you have interest in Ben? Like, would you buy somewhat low or would you make a real offer for Ben at this stage after sort of what just happened?
I think there are teams that would have interest in Ben, if, you know, that you're, they're smaller markets, they don't have, they can't really sign free agents. They don't have like they're kind of stuck in the middle ground in terms of not picking super high in the draft. I would you know have interest in Ben. He seems like a tip, like a classic, you know, just needs a change of scenery and he would thrive. I think being on this team with the Sixers, it can, you know, I understand like in Philadelphia it can wear on you if you're not, you know, if you're not built for it. And he might not be, and he could be, you know, a guy who can just thrive in a different situation. So I would try and buy low on him if I was, you know, a team like maybe Sacramento or, you know, a team like that is missing another young piece. So I think he does have, I think he should have like a good, I think we might get too down on him based on what we saw in the playoffs in terms of his trade value, but I think his trade value is going to be pretty solid. Yeah. So I think you should be able to get something good from him. And I think there will be interest from multiple teams.
So transitioning to the Eagles, we're big Eagles fans. We talk about them sometimes, especially in the offseason. What is your feeling about the team? How do you feel about Jalen Hurts? Are you a Hurts guy? And do you think they have a shot at the division, which is not particularly great this season? What's your current feeling on the Eagles?
I'm somewhat optimistic on the Eagles. I think... everything was an absolute. Last season was an absolute disaster. The coaching was bad. The quarterback was bad. Everything was bad. I'm not too sold on Jalen Hurts. I think we need to see more. Obviously, he only started what 3 or 4 games last year. But I'm optimistic based on what I've heard from Sirianni. I think Nick Sirianni is going to surprise some people, just with the way he talks. He makes so much sense when he speaks. He's a very excitable guy. He's like a Ted Lasso of football. So I can't get that comparison out of my head every time I see him speak. He's just so genuinely excited. And some, like with some people, it comes off as fraudulent. You know, they're kind of putting on a show, but he genuinely seems excited about everything that he does. He's kind of, you know, twisted in the head, which I love. And I think it can't be understated how bad the coaching was last year, just in terms of the scheme that was run last year was so stale. It was a boring team to watch. And I'm pretty optimistic. I think they can win the division. Because obviously the division isn't very good. They'll have a shot. They'll have a punch's chance just from that point of view. But I'm not sold on the other teams in the division. So I think they'll have a chance. I think the offense is going to be pretty good this year. Not too sure about the defense, but I think the offense will be pretty good. I'm a huge Devontae Smith guy, so I was really happy that they got him in the draft. And there's some exciting young pieces there. I think Jalen Reagor is going to. He's going to benefit from not having the pressure of being that number one guy that Devontae Smith is going to take. And I think the offensive line is probably the biggest thing where they're deep. And if they're healthy, obviously it's a bigger, we've seen the injury disasters with this team for the last seemingly 5 years. But now they're going to have a good offensive line if everyone is healthy. And I think that's kind of the biggest part of a good offense, my belief is having a strong offensive line, because it just makes everything so much easier. Right. It'll make things easier for Hurts and Miles Sanders. So I'm optimistic. I think I'm picking, like at this stage, I'm picking them to win between 7 and 10 games. I need to convert my brain into thinking it's a 17 game season, not a 16 game season.
Oh, that's right.
It's going to take, it still hasn't fully sunk in. But I think they're going to surprise some people, and they have a good chance of making the playoffs, I think.
Rohan, I wanted to ask you were talking about some of the receivers that you like. This is a me specific question. I have Travis Fogle on my fantasy team in my dynasty league. any chance that he's going to be better this year? I mean, he showed a lot of flash last year. What do you think about him this year?
I think he'll be okay. I think there was some weird stuff coming out of him last year about him, about his, like, he wasn't practicing very hard, or that's kind of like what the reason why he lost some playing time to the Alshon, that corpse of Alshon Jeffrey, later down the line last season. The thing is, like, it's up to, I think the defining factor is how much the Eagles are going to throw the ball this year. Now, because you're going to have a running quarterback. So will the passing attempts be there for Travis Fulgham to be a viable fantasy player? That's kind of the question for me. But, I mean, he was that Steelers game last year was crazy what he was pulling off in that game. Like, you have to have some modicum of talent to be able to perform like that and have a game like that. So I hope he's good this year. I think he's a talented guy. So I'm just hoping that there's enough passing attempts to go around for him to thrive.
Great. And Emily, you had a next question about Phil.
Yeah, I didn't know. You guys were real into your fantasy talk. I didn't know if you were ready to give it up. So we were just wondering what your general thoughts, as, you know, a Philly sports fan, what your general thoughts are on the Phillies this season. They've been, you know, playing a little better, but the bullpen and the starting pitching is terrible. And, you know, do you think they can make a late run? What do you think for, like, after the All-Star break? What do you think the Phillies look like?
I've only paid I haven't paid too close attention to the Phillies this year, but it seems like more of this, like, basically the same as last year, except they were maybe a bit less fun than last year's team with no matter how many home runs and they were hitting last year. You know, the bullpen still stinks. I don't know. I've seen a lot of people complaining about Joe Girardi. I'm always trained just to think that nothing good is going to happen with the Phils. I'm probably not super optimistic that they're going to make a run. They kind of, you know, they'll be around 500 the rest of the year. So that's my thoughts. But again, I haven't played too close attention. But I watched a few games at the start of the year, but you know, it's difficult to keep up with them with, you know, games every single day. And them in the middle of the day, so I try and like catch like a half of a game a week. I haven't too much watched too much, but hopefully they can turn things around.
So this is kind of a sharp pivot here, but I wanted to ask you, one thing I really enjoy on your Twitter is when you're trying foods that I think are usually at fast food places that are everywhere, but they only offer these certain weird foods in New Zealand, like whatever weird stuff our fast food places have, I'm sure is different from what you have. What is your, of the foods you've tried, you know, and you've, and in your videos you made, what was your favorite and what was just like the worst?
I guess you would call it over there. You have SpaghettiOs, right? That's kind of like your canned spaghetti and like a tomato sauce and like, and yeah. So we had, so Domino's had a pizza, which was basically a SpaghettiOs on a SpaghettiOs pizza, basically, which is kind of similar to what like a kind of a broke university student meal, which is called a mousetrap, which is basically you get a piece of bread, you get your spaghetti and sauce and then cheese, and then you grill it, basically. So it was kind of like that. So when I had tried that Domino's pizza like that, that was probably my favorite, just because it took me back to when I was really, to a broke college student. And it was like, it wasn't good. I'll say that right now. It wasn't good, but I really liked it. So that was probably my favorite. The worst was probably, so there's something called a chip buddy, which is from the UK, which is basically a, so I need to convert my lingo. So they're basically fries, because I know chips and fries are different. They're basically fries in between two pieces of bread. It's such a,
It sounds bad.
It sounds horrible. And it is horrible.
Was so, there no so, other so, meat on it? Just the fries?
Just the fries. It's fries and bread. And
wow.
So, as an aside, if anyone's rooting for England in the Euros final, don't, because they have, that's their kind of cuisine. So don't root for them. Root for them. And Burger King had their own version of that, which was, yeah, it was fries, and they had a bit of sauce in there. There was some mayonnaise and some tomato sauce. And I tried that, and it was abhorrent. It was absolutely disgusting. And
I believe it.
That was, and so that would be the worst. So chip buddies, no. Mouse traps, spaghetti on toast or pizza, yes.
I also wanted to ask you last New Zealand food related question, but I talked to you about this on Twitter, but recently had some New Zealand wines and would love some recommendations because the ones I've had are very good. So you have some favorites that I should be trying?
In terms of brands, I'm probably not the one to talk about. I'm not the one to talk about it. I'm quite uncultured in that sense. Like, I'll just drink. I'll look at the region where it's from. So anything that's from Marlborough in New Zealand, so that's the wine country, which is basically the top of the South Island in New Zealand. New Zealand's two main islands, and the South Island at the top is the top northwest region is called Marlborough, and that's where wine country is. And there's so many incredible wines from there, reds and whites. So I would recommend anything from there. Because I'm just the kind of guy, I'll just look at what's cheap. I'll just look at the region where it's from and I'll grab it. I don't really have an affinity for specific brands, but anything from Marlborough, I would recommend, because that's some good stuff from there.
I appreciate it.
I think that the last thing that we have to get to in this episode, we're obviously, the podcast is called The Gastroenteritis Blues, so we feel duty-bound, and that's a pun, to talk about any athlete that is stricken with gastroenteritis. Thank you to Adil Royster of the Out of Sight podcast on the network, who sent us this tweet from San Diego Padres. The club has placed left-handed pitcher Blake Snell on the 10-day injured list. With gastroenteritis, I mean, this guy's going to be shitting himself for a week and a half. This is unbelievable. I can't believe that it would take a day. So the full, just like, sit him for one start? I don't know. It's unbelievable. Emily, any comment on the Blake Snell's gastroenteritis and how you think he can remedy that?
Yeah, it's really incredible. I was like, when I read that, I was like, do I have the wrong idea of like what this means? Like, I just thought it was like a stomach ache, and now he's out for 10 days. Like, have you ever had a 10-day long stomach ache? That sounds like ridiculous. So like, it sounds serious. I hope he's okay.
Yeah, there's a chance the title of our podcast is somewhat insensitive to those dealing with this, but it's a little late now. Dan, you're in medical school at this point. Do you have any ideas for what he can take over the counter or prescribe?
First of all, I'm not quite yet, although I'm moving into my new place like right now, so sorry for that. But no, that sounds awful. If it's 10 days long, is there a solution to that? Like, that's, I feel, you can't even see people at that point. That just sounds like the worst thing ever.
It doesn't sound fun. Rowan, I'll spare you having to make an official comment on gastroenteritis on the podcast, just in case that would come back to bite you. Emily and Dan, do you guys have anything else for Rohan before we let him go and enjoy the rest of his morning? Anything?
No, just thank you for joining us. Love to talk Sixers, and like, the Suns are cool, so We had to have some Suns talk here with all their success. So it was good to talk to you.
Rohan, thank you so much for doing this. It's great to meet you this way, and best of luck to the rest of the way in this finals run. Is there anything else that you want us to get out there about you, your handle, anything? You can go right ahead.
Just my Twitter handle is Han_Sing91. Thank you so much for having me on, guys. This was a blast. Shooting the shit with you. Really enjoyable. This was awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Great meeting you. Thank you again for
nice to meet you.
Work with the time difference. Like I said, enjoy the rest of the playoffs. I hope they do close it out on a weekend so you get to watch it live. And can shed happy tears surrounded by coworkers. Thank you, buddy. Very nice to meet you. We'll be back, I think, with another Green Room this week. And thank you all for listening. Good talking to you guys. Emily, enjoy the pool. Dan, good luck with the move. Dan, before we get out of here, do you want to share your new address?
No.
You can tweet it. He'll tweet it.
Perfect.
Just follow the account and he'll tweet it. Thanks,
everyone,
guys.
Everyone who hates me on this podcast can come visit.
See you guys.
See ya.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its $1 billion real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
Support for this podcast came from SAS. Data is everything. And now everything is data. Which means more to process, more to analyze. And now more than ever, speed to answers matters. So how do you produce those answers as fast as the world produces data? With SAS Viya, the quickest way from a billion points of data to a point of view. It's a more productive data and AI platform that helps you get more done. Learn more today at sas.com/VIYA.